But right now, it's time for the Observation Deck with Gordo, brought to us by Tylock George Eye Care and Sam Pack Ford.
Okay, since it's opening day, we have to cover the new rule changes in baseball. There are two minor ones. One is they've shortened the pitch clock to 3 seconds. So, no. One of them is they're tightening the shift rule. Actually, it's the penalty for violating the shift rule. Now, if a team violates the shift rule, they will see the batter can be granted first base for free, and any base runners move up a base.
They used to charge them, like $5, I think.
Yeah, it used to be $5 that they had to put in the swear jar. And the fielder will be charged with an error if he's the, I guess, violates the rule and is the first one to touch the ball. But the batter does not get a plate appearance in this case. So that's one change. The other change has to do with something the Yankees have been doing, that running through second base deal.
Yeah.
You seen this? So this is something that where runners are on first and third with two outs. And so there's a ground ball that makes the defense grab the force play at second to end the inning. So if there was going to be a close play at second, teams were teaching their runners not to slow down and just run past the base as if it was first. And the theory was that if the player beats the throw at second and was ruled safe, then the run on third base would then score a run before the third out.
Right. Okay.
So, but the runner going through the bag at second would then be ruled out of the baseline and the third out, and it would be the third out. But the run would still count in those cases.
Okay, so they were running through, they would touch second.
Yeah. Run through second as if it was like running to first.
And so in the time that the second baseman or shortstop had to chase them down and tag them, that's when the run would score?
I guess so, yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
So now they're going to call him out at second.
So just making the guy.
It gives the replay officials the ability to rule whether or not the runner heading through second base has abandoned the baseline before the runner scores.
Okay. Gotcha.
So that will be the determination.
They were just forcing the infielders to chase them.
Right.
That's actually really clever and funny.
Yeah, and you know what? Okay. I don't want to get into the shift debate with you guys again because we have differing opinions on that. But I like it when teams look at the rules and figure out, well, what is the optimum way we can play because of this.
Yeah.
And I like it when teams figure out, okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to run through second base and we'll do it this way. Therefore, we have a chance of scoring. Like, let them have some cleverness to work up under the rules and stop constantly making the rules to where you can't have any cleverness under it and then you force your will upon the players.
All that is true, but we needed to get the ball back in play. Baseball needed some help, and you look at the changes that have been made. They have helped the game.
Yes, I agree with you. Like pitch clock and things that shorten the game are
and
good.
The shift,
but it would shorten
rules,
the game if we had the shift, too.
The shift rules have helped as well.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, and I like that. Like, I think this is funny. I like it once. Hack-a-Shack was funny once. The shift is funny once when everybody goes to one side of the infield. I just don't like it over and over and over because then it becomes, okay, it's not novelty or funny anymore. It's just a beating. Okay, we're going to have a parade to the free throw line because of Hack-a-Shack. And so I think it's right that they're stopping it.
I mean, I hear what you're saying, but at the same time, it just feels like Let the game naturally overcome whatever somebody's figured out how to best their opponent in this era. Like the shift, well, you're going to have to get hitters who can actually control the ball a little bit or hit around a little bit and not go to the same place all the time. It's the same deal with the wishbone. Like, I would have hated it if football said, wait a second, this is gaming the system. No, you can't run the option like this. You can't run the wishbone because it's doing the same thing every time, and it's unfair to the other team. It's like,
but
no,
that
the
wasn't
other team's
side of the rules.
Well,
though.
No, neither was the shift. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Is like, if somebody figures out a way that dominates, you've got to let defenses catch up rather than putting in rules.
It wasn't outside the spirit of the game, I'll put it that way. The shift is outside, Hack-a-Shack, all that's outside the spirit of the game. The wishbone wasn't.
Then we get into the undefinable spirit of the game.
Yeah.
Anyway, so those are the new rules for baseball. We missed a story about an unusual execution that happened right before we went on vacation. And that's the story of Brad Sigmund. And this is very, very sensitive.
I thought you were going to say Brad C.
No, he will be executed someday, I'm sure, for some crime he commits. But
Brad.
It happened in South Carolina. Did y'all hear about this execution?
No. Okay. I heard something about it, but not in details.
He was a 67-year-old man who was who got the death penalty for
bludgeoning his ex-girlfriend's parents to death with a baseball bat.
So there's a baseball tie-in.
So that's why you had to get it on him today, because it's opening day.
Opening day, yeah. Right, yeah. He did this back in 2001. But the unusual thing about his execution by the state was that he was put to death by firing squad. Yeah. Only the third time, I think, this has happened since we reinstituted the death penalty.
Now, what are the baseball rules on this? There's like three guys who fire and only two have bullets, or what is it?
You know, it does not say in this story, but, I mean, there were three prison guards who volunteered.
Wow.
Whoa. So it's not like these are professional rifle executioner guys. These are just prison guards who said, yeah, I got a gun.
So he was in a state where he had his choice?
Yeah, and he chose firing squad.
I thought that wasn't a choice anywhere
in
anymore.
Like two or three states. It
choose firing squad.
Huh. I want to say it may even be a choice in Oklahoma.
I think it is in Oklahoma. But he chose firing squad because he didn't trust the lethal injection drugs.
Wow.
And
jeez.
You know, all these people are very wary of the execution drugs. You know, talking about how horrible it is and cruel. But how is the firing squad not worse?
Right.
It's certainly more violent.
Right.
Anyway, so this guy...
He blindfolded?
They put a hood over his head.
Oh, man.
And they say he was trying to mouth words to friends and everything before the hood. As the hood's being lowered over his head, he's trying to get it out real quick. Insane stuff. So they put the hood over his head. Then they safety pin a target...
Oh, my God.
...over his heart.
Seriously?
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought that may be a Gordo add-on there.
No. And in an unusual fashion, you know, most of the guys when they're executed are wearing, like, white scrubs, you know?
Yeah.
This guy was wearing all black. They say that's a difference in execution style. Hmm. Sartorial execution style. You know the reason why? Because of the blood. They didn't want the witnesses to see all the blood as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he's dressed in all black, hands tied behind his back, hood over his head, safety pinning, you know, some clip art from Target Super Center.
Bingo. Mm-hmm.
And,
see, I think that's...
And these guys are stationed 15 feet away with rifles.
Wow.
He said...
For some reason, I envisioned, like, 40 yards.
Yeah, me too. That seems really close.
Wait, why 40 yards?
I don't know. It's,
why that far out?
I don't know, but 15 feet seems too close.
Yeah, I envision maybe 30 feet.
Well, there was the other one that happened recently. You know, Gary Gilmore was the famous one in Utah.
Yep.
That executioner song was written about, Norman Mailer. And then there was another dude that had it since then, and I can't remember his name, but the executioners there were like, I think 25 or 30 feet away with rifles. This was 15 feet away, which I think there's a problem with this because you normally don't sight in a rifle that close.
Yeah.
So I think the sights are going to be way off. So you could take off an ear.
What, you want them to use a shotgun? From 15 feet?
No, that'd be way too destructive. Use a shotgun on a guy? I guess at 15 feet, it wouldn't spread that much. Depends
ridiculous.
On what kind of choke you use on it.
Use a rifle that close.
But anyway, he was shot, and they said that after he was shot, and you could see the shirt, you know, billow up and puff up real quick and everything as the shots went into him in slow motion as he convulsed backwards and screamed like in the Old West movies.
Add on.
But he, like, took two breaths afterwards.
See, yeah. Well, you're going to take a few breaths with the drug.
And was screaming out of the holes that were in his lungs.
Yeah, but that means he heard the shots.
Yeah, they say that all the people who were witnesses and everything, everybody jumped when the shots happened.
You know, probably the best way to go, and I don't believe they offer this in these United States, would be guillotine. It would be fast.
I know. Very surgical.
Very surgical.
It's just too disturbing.
They
though.
Use rubbing alcohol on the back of the neck beforehand.
It's extremely disturbing, and I don't think we'll ever bring it back, but I bet that would be the quickest.
That's what you would choose if you were given the option.
Man, when you put your head down.
Ah, no.
Oh, my God.
I mean, headhunting is a coward.
Yeah, headhunting is a coward, so no.
I mean, and it's a gruesome way, but it's fast.
I think it's totally possible that you would maintain consciousness for several seconds, if not 30 seconds, after you got guillotined.
As my head's rolling around and my body stands up and starts waving.
Yeah. As your body stands up and your hands start trying to pry up the blade.
See, that reason alone, we can't do guillotine because it'd just be a whole new joke series for you.
It's not a joke series. We're talking medical stuff.
The head would be going.
I guess you could still talk right in the larynx above the guillotine line. Where's the guillotine line?
All right, it says a human head, after being severed, typically loses consciousness within seconds.
So you'd have seconds to say, go Cowboys.
You'd have a few seconds, probably.
Can
which would be really
that?
Weird.
I only have enough time for how about.
You get to look back up at your severed body from the bucket.
Yeah, the last thing you see is looking back at your body as it's giving the double birds to everyone.
See.
Anyway, this guy.
Disturbing.
But we missed that. The third firing squad death. Would you volunteer for that duty to shoot?
No.
No way.
The article nowhere in here mentions the person without the, you know, with the blank
they don't
cartridge.
Know, right?
Well, it doesn't mention it in here, so I'm assuming all three of these guys shot actual live rounds. But I always think that you can tell if you're shooting an unalive round. I mean, it fires differently. The physics of it are different because there's nothing being propelled out the barrel.
I think if I'm the guy being shot, I want all three with live rounds, because what if the only guy with the live round kind of missed a little bit? I want them all three getting a shot.
Yeah. Yeah, and they use special, really chest-destroying bullets in this case,
so,
they say.
What would you do? Just roll a bullet their way with your foot right before?
You get to choose the bullet. And you write defend, deny, and detach or whatever on them.
All right, then.
Anyway, thank you. So happy opening day.
Okay.